It'll all make sense in a bit. If you're visiting or you were here or not here last week, you know, we're talking about exercise, both physical and spiritual. So there are some serious notes on both of those sides of the coin, and we were making some pretty serious fun of the physical exercise last week, and I might continue. It was so much fun, at least for me last week, you know, to do that. You know, look, and not in any way to demean or lessen anybody here who is into a daily physical routine. God bless you. Continue it. Don't let that go away. But I just want to use it almost as a kind of like a parable. You know, the Lord spoke in parables to everybody because they didn't fully understand the spiritual meanings that he was trying to get across. So he gave them a worldly word picture, if you would, that they could look at that and say, oh, so that parable is a worldly or an earthly picture of a spiritual reality that God wants from us. So in order to continue on a little bit of exercise, joking around, Paul made a statement in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. So, you know, if you're visiting today or you just, I'm a goofball. And God speaks to me in ways that, you know, sometimes it might really offend somebody, but he's got ways of getting into our heart. And this section that we're in on exercising ourselves to godliness, the only way I could really grab a hold of it was watching what we do on a daily physical exertion. If I only exerted myself spiritually. And I do, and please don't take this like I'm do more. Every one of us, you know, look at our body. Well, don't look at our bodies. Just look up and think of our bodies. Everybody's different. We've got small, big, large, you know, skin. Nobody can do the same exact exercise physically, can they? You know, but we can, in a way, relate that to spiritual exercise. Not everybody is capable of doing the same spiritual exercise, but we're all capable of something. So Paul's saying, would to God you'd bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. And I can't even come close to what this man felt for those that God put in his path. But I'm telling you what, for this church and for those of you that I know and love, I'm jealous because Satan rips every one of us off. And if I ever seem annoyed or angry, please, it's towards him and the lies that he's telling or other individuals that he might use to bring into your life something that is not profitable, something that's not beneficial into my own life. I'm jealous of you. For I've espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so our minds, that's where all this starts, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And if you've got on this walk with Christ is so simple. Our spiritual exercises are so simple. It's not like he's requiring so much out of us. What does he? He says, he has shown us, oh man, what the Lord requires of us, right? But to do justly and walk humbly with our God, right? And love mercy, throw that in there. Don't leave that out. So bear with me a little bit, my folly, as I go towards trying to put spiritual exercising in there with physical exercising, and don't take offense, please. And whatever you can do, because you got to be careful. Don't go out of here today thinking, I'm going to read 15 chapters. I'm going to pray for an hour. I'm going to do, you know, that's like trying to go to the gym and pick up X amount of weight when you're not used to it. You're going to hurt yourself, or you're just going to give up. So we'll have to take this and just monitor what I say and then put it into our lives, each one of us. So last week, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be going back there. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 8. This was Paul's instruction to Timothy on godly exercise. We all understand physical exercise. Like I said, we either belong to the gym, we walk, we do little routines in our home, and now what we need to do is just take that into the spiritual realm. And some of us might ask, well, what's a godly exercise? There's thousands of them in here. Let's start off with the basic, just like you would when you go to a gym, like I said, your physical trainer, your personal trainer, who we can look at today as believers, that's God. God's my physical trainer. He's my personal trainer, trying to show me what he's got in his plan. Just like any exercise regimen, it needs a plan, doesn't it? I'm going to do it one day a week, 3 days a week. I'm going to do this. I'll do it at this time. God's got a plan. And please know that. I know the plans that I have towards you, and their plans are good and not evil, with an expected end, and that's eternity with him. But that's part of this building ourselves up spiritually that we have to do, each one of us. So let's just look at what Paul says to Timothy in verses 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. You know, we went over that. I don't want to take the time to do that again. You look into it. But we've got them. You know, it was Greek mythology back at that time, and some of the traditions of the people that surrounded them, the Romans and everything. We've got these profane and old wives' fables. You'll hear people saying, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, you know, just worship. It doesn't matter who you worship. Doesn't matter what you worship. Just worship. I mean, do you know, we've got that stuff. These are the same type of fables. They're profane. They'll do nothing but lead us away from the Lord. So Paul is instructing Timothy, stay away from those things. Exercise yourself, rather, unto godliness. And if you feel free in underlining, get that, because I think we really need to look into what is the physical regimen or the plan that I need to start to exercise Doug Gibney godly and in godliness. It's going to be different for you and you and you. Some of you are already, you know, you're working out way further ahead of where somebody else might be, but don't look down on that person. You know, I've got, what is Pete? Cindy is my niece, her husband. He would be my niece-in-law?
Nephew.
My nephew-in-law or something. What do they call him? Power lifter. He bench presses with 500 pounds. Repetitions. Big man. He went to the gym here because he can't not exercise or things start going wrong. So he went to the gym here when he was the 9250 or whatever it is. Is it still there? I don't think so. The gym was there. He squats with like 800-900 pounds, and he does repetitions of them. The guy that owned it at that time was in shock because he didn't have enough weights for Pete, free weights, for Pete to do his, you know, what do they call those?
Workout.
His workout? No, I meant the squats. Yeah, squats. It's like lunges, right? And crunches. I do those, I call them lunch. It's a combination. lunch. But anyhow, so we're all different. But we can get into this godly exercise if we put our hearts and our minds to it. So with that, for bodily exercise profits little, verse 8, or for a little while is that. It doesn't mean that it's useless. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and the life that is to come. God is promising each one of us as a personal trainer. If we exercise ourselves unto godliness, there are going to be benefits that we'll see right here and now in this life. And there are going to be better benefits way, you know, whatever that time is, for eternity, way better than anything this world can offer. So let's break it down. Here Paul is saying exercise unto godliness. So I started thinking this week, well, what is godliness, number one? What is godliness? Is there just one point to it? I think it increases on that scale. But simply, godliness is conforming to the commands, a nice word, for another word, laws, which Christians shake when we hear that. But you know, God's laws are good. They haven't passed away. As long as we don't become legalistic in them, God's laws are his commands. They're things that he set up. It's his plan for each and every one of us. But it's conforming to God's laws and the plan that God has for our lives, both corporately as a church and personally, individually. We all need this godly exercise, and God's got a plan. We don't have to try to develop it ourselves, or this is what I'm going to do. Just walk in and start asking God, what is it that you would want of me today? He'll start out easy with us, but as we go along this program or this plan, things do get a little tougher. They get a little more exhausting. They get a little more tiring, but you know, I hope I can encourage myself. Don't give up. You know, there's a joggers. I read a thing about jogging. This guy, I don't know who said it. He said, I was sitting in my living room and I saw three people jog past my window this morning. It so inspired me that I got up and I shut the blinds. So don't let what we hear bum us out or think, you know, I'll never attain that. Just the simplest form or plan. So what is this plan? 8 and 9. I mean, it's got it in it, bodily exercise, prophets. We have to do that, walking, whatever it might be. Godliness is profitable. It has results both now and in the future. In verse 9, I left that out, but that's the third time in this epistle that Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, acceptance. If God says that, we better open our, I'd better open my ears. This is a worthy statement that God is saying. Godly exercise is not just something to pass off. It's faithful due to God too, not somebody that's trying to sell some health equipment or new supplement or whatever else. God is saying, this, what we just read, is worthy of my acceptance, mine, saying, yes, God, I hear what you're saying. So like that physical exercise, got to have a plan. So let's turn to Romans 12, if you would put something in there, and let's turn to Romans 12. We need a plan. It says that the man makes plans, but God directs his paths. Sometimes we make too big a plan. Sometimes we try to start off with way too much in that humanness that we have, feeling like I better do more. God's got a plan for each one of us. No matter what we might plan or think, all we have to do is try to follow him. We do that through his word. So what's that exercise of godliness? Like I said, there's thousands of them. Let's start simply because it does need a first step. Romans 12, I ask you to start there. Paul again says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, help us to hear some of these exercises in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Present your body. It's a daily offering. We've had this hundreds of times, but here's the first part of my exercise. How many people exercise first thing in the morning? I was just using that as an example. Midday, weekends, we all have some time, but God is saying, you want to exercise yourself to godliness, Doug? Present your body, me, daily, every morning, not laying down someplace on the couch, present my body a living sacrifice. Here I am. I don't want to. I don't feel like this. I'm tired. I've got a cold. I've got to get to work. See, God is, he's not looking for hours upon hours. He's just looking for that devotion to him and to put this plan into effect. So first step in a godly exercise, I've got to be present, right? You can't do it for me. You can't do it for me. I've got to do it. Nobody ever benefited by reading an exercise book, have they? That's a great book, man. And then just sit, wow, yeah, I'm feeling better. Oh, yeah. No, you've got to put it into practice. So I've got to be present. I've got to step up to the plate, if you would. Daily. And it's, you know, I like how he put that in. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The logic of it is, every day that I'm living, do this. Let's say we go to the gym one time a week, right? And all I do is I walk in and I pick up a 5-pound weight and I go like that and I put it down and I wipe my sweat off and everything and take off my Tod's. What do you call an exercise outfit, costume, whatever it is, and take it off and go about my business? That doesn't help at all, does it? If anything, I'll be in the same shape as I'm in or whatever. Daily, daily, Doug, you've got to do this. It's not only presenting my body, but it says holy. Present my body holy. This is a godly exercise, Doug? Yes, it is. So when he says holy, just like this is a covering for us, isn't it? Holiness. Glorified bodies that we're going to get someday. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but he looks at me as I'm white. So he's saying, come holy daily to me. That cloak of righteousness that God has given to each one of us is just like your workout Tod's or whatever they are that we put on when we go. Nobody goes to the gym like this, do they? I don't think so. There's like a really cool $400 outfit with, if you're really serious now, right? Is that low? 400? Sneakers, Tod's, tops, bun, you know, holder, whatever else, Fitbits, all the stuff it takes. God has already put that cloak, that workout outfit on each and every one of us. He's given that. And if you don't feel, you know, and all that means doesn't mean perfect. When it says be, you know, come daily, come holy. It means come mature. Come seeking, come trying with a desire to grow. And if we're not so holy, what most of us do is, I'm not going to church anymore because I can't forgive so-and-so. I can't let go of this. So-and-so doesn't like me. We don't come and we bail out. All God is saying, when you come to me, Doug, come holy. And if I'm not holy, you know what I do? I sit there and say, Father God, forgive me. Just forgive me. I've had some rotten thoughts. I've said some rotten things. My heart isn't completely right. I'm not doing, forgive me, Lord. Bang. God said, you know, if we are faithful and confess those things, he is faithful to cleanse us of us. So now I got my beautiful little, I don't want to call it that because I'm insulting somebody. I got it. My sweats. Ooh, that's a bad word, isn't it? Who likes sweat?
Mm-hmm. How about robe of righteousness?
The robe of righteousness. So I got it. It's already there. Holy. This is acceptable, the word says. This is acceptable to God, who is our spiritual trainer, and he's promising results from this. Before we look at conform, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now don't you, how many of us have or have had children? They're grown, they're out of the house, maybe they're in the house right now. How many of us really like when we tell our children, go clean your room? Did you ever say that to Katie or to JoJo, or go help your mom? Or, you know, we tell them something, right? Do we really smile and get happy when they say, no, I'm not gonna do that? So we just heard that God likes exercise unto godliness, conforming to his standard, right? So I turn to Peter here because how many of us, we just heard God wants us to exercise ourselves daily to godliness. Verse 14 of 1 Peter says, as obedient children. He started off with, as obedient children. So if I just say, no, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to Bible study, I'm not going to read, I'm not going to fellowship with those people, they've all lost their minds, they probably put something in the food. How many of you, you know, that's what happened when we were all first Christians. And just those things that I just said, being with other Christians, fellowshipping, these are godly exercises. It takes me out of one realm into another spot. So as obedient children, I have the option to either be obedient or disobedient. not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, which we'll hear in verse 12, being conformed to this world. I'd love to go to church, but today is just a beautiful ski day. I would love to go to church, but the Broncos are playing at 11 o'clock. I would love to go to Bible study, but I just can't get myself up to at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, to go to Craig's Bible study. We're not being obedient. It's that simple. And I don't mean this as a, oh boy, you know, who said, are you ready to give it to us today? I think you said it, right? I'm giving it to myself. Because how many times have I heard God say, you know, instead of complaining to Pat how bad all of that is for the last hour, why don't you just go inside and read something? And I said, well, I just want to watch it and see how really bad it is. Or, this is so bad, we've got to watch the end to see how it is. Anybody ever said that? I've watched it. This is so bad. I've got to watch to see how this ends. I'm being disobedient. So the Lord is saying, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manners of conversation. And conversation is our lifestyle. So part of people's lifestyle is exercise regimens. Part of my lifestyle needs to be godly exercise on a daily basis, not once on a Sunday, not once in a while. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be mature. Be exercised unto that godliness is what God is saying to each and every one of us. Turn back to Romans 12, if you would. So he's telling us how to start this regiment, how to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And now the first part of the workout plan is stop being conformed to this world. Do not be conformed, or that word conformed is molded, shaped, formed by forces around us other than God. Don't be conformed to this world. And I looked at that and I started thinking, don't be conformed, molded. And I had to go look at myself. First, I did it just in my mind. How's the world molding me? What's the world been doing to me? What's the cries and the demands and the tyranny of these things that seem so urgent? What is it turning Doug into? Because God is saying, don't be conformed to this world, Doug. See, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're going to be leaving this world very soon. I want to leave with as little of the extra baggage. What was that? You don't believe that? Oh. I want to leave it. All the baggage. I want to leave it behind. I want to get rid of some extra physical weight. Not this. But in my spirit, I want to get rid of the things that are holding me down. The only way to do it is do what God is saying. Well, stop being conformed to this world. So you look at how you've been conformed. And if you don't like it, break the mold. And if we need to, go look in the mirror, which we do every day. But look in that mirror and ask, how am I being conformed? How am I being molded by those forces around me? Do I look more and more like Jesus? Do I sound more and more like Jesus? Am I doing more and more that he does? Or am I doing less and less and doing these things that the world is trying to weigh me down with? It's an individual decision. You know, in the physical realm, I've only been in two, I think. I've seen a couple of them down in Boulder. You could see them if you're at the stoplight, and they have 50 people on these bicycles. Everybody's going like this, you know, like crazy on there. But I also noticed there's mirrors in these things. And you ever watch? There's either a mirror right in front of you, and some of the guys go, right? God is saying, take a look at ourselves to see how this world is molding us. Are you like that person that really likes the results? Or you like that person who just sees the mirror and runs from it? Because I don't like it. I want to avoid those things. If you don't like the mold, break it. Just break it. You could start that today. 2 Corinthians 3. I still got a little time. 2 Corinthians 3. Remember the mirror in the gym analogy for our spiritual exercises. And in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Freedom from the tyranny, freedom from the I have to's, freedom from I must, freedom from a preacher sitting up here telling you, you better do this, or, and they're up there, and I pray I never do that. There's freedom in this. And I could kind of put a lot of that meaningless stuff away and exercise myself with my Lord. Just praying, just bringing myself to Him, asking Him for forgiveness. These are spiritual exercises that are going to have great profit both now and later on. Man, can you imagine, how, you know, some of us, we feel terrible in front of the Lord. I thought that, I did that, I know who I am. He knows who we are. And we feel crummy about it. But He looks at us and says, I love you. I love you. If we can just operate in the day, knowing that God loves me and I don't have to feel like I'm so physically out of shape as we, because you feel crummy sometimes. Some people are very happy in their bodies. But I want to feel that way every day, outside, inside, no matter what this looks like, no matter what shape. Because, you know, again, look in the mirror. I said it last week, look at a picture when you were 20. Look at one today at 70. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to bring it back to that point. But I can be so happy at who I am right now because of that godly exercise. In my daily routine with my Lord, I can be happy and not feel under condemnation. In the way I might look to some people, who cares? I like to take a picture. It lasts longer. You know? What matters out there? We're going to stand before the Lord one day. So He's telling us here in three, there's freedom in this godly exercise. You don't have to get on my exercise program. You don't have to do what I'm doing. I don't have to do what you're doing. God has got a plan for you. And all He's asking is, come to me. Come to me tomorrow morning and let's see what we can do with that body of yours, you know. But we with all open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's where I got that mirror image. The gyms are loaded with mirrors and that's all people do is look at themselves in there to see what's happening. God is saying, look into my face. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim as we just, you know, His glory, His grace. Look to Jesus in this spiritual exercise. Because when we look to the Lord, it says, we're changed into the same image. What's the image when you go to a gym? Who do you want to look like? That something moved you, or you saw somebody's clothes, hairstyle, body shape when you were watching. Well, I wish I looked like that. I wish he looked, my husband looked like that. We go there with an image in mind, don't we? When we go to exercise physically, I want to lose 10. I want to get my arms bigger. I want to be able to walk around that I can't put my arms down or pick anything up. You know, somebody's got an image. There's guys that do that. What's your image? What's your image when we look into that glass? And it should be, and Susie, this one, we're being changed, remember, from strength to strength. It says that we're changed into the same image. That's the image of Jesus Christ, the image of God, from glory to glory, even by the same Spirit of the Lord. When Jerry was in the hospital, we stood on some of those that God was going to bring them from strength to strength. All the strength here, one day isn't good. You won't be able to pick up your shoes, Doug. Do you understand that? There were days I could take bales of hay and throw them like you wouldn't believe it. I can just about get it off the ground now. But in this exercise that God's got planned for you, we're going to get changed from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And like Caleb, when he said, give me that mountain at 80 years old, I am well able to take it. Man, can you imagine if we all had that attitude within this congregation or that attitude within myself? I better start ending. Turn to Hebrews 10. Every exercise plan, unfortunately, another reason why I don't do these things. Hebrews 10. Every exercise plan usually includes a diet, doesn't it? And you can't go down to the gym and work out for an hour and then go home and have, you know, three or four chickens and mashed potatoes and gravy and Spam if you, you know, if you want to get serious. Everybody, who don't eat that? That'll kill you. I'm 70. I've been on it since I was four. You know, it didn't yet. It might someday. I'll admit that. But every exercise program needs a diet. And this one, remember when I said, bear with me a little in my folly. I've said this one before. This is the diet that goes along with the exercise program of God unto godliness. Every, Susie, you were a counselor. Habits, whatever, even exercise. It takes 28 days, basically, doesn't it, to make or break a habit. Some of us have not been in the habit of exercising unto godliness, but we can't pass a day without walking or exercising or doing something. 28 days to make or break a habit. And I felt like God, He was challenging me in this one, and I'll just throw that out, challenge it to you. It's going to take a while. Don't give up. You're not going to lift the 500 pounds the first day. But this is the diet that goes along, and it's called a lettuce diet. Not kale. I said that this morning, but lettuce diet. Verse 22 of Hebrews 10, lettuce. Let us draw near. These are some of those steps to godly. You want to, now we got a program. What am I going to do first? Am I going to work on my legs? Am I going to work on my back? Am I going to work on my heart? What am I going to do? And here God is laying out this exercise program. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw close. Just draw close. We do that by prayer. We do that by coming to Him. There's the first, and you know, how many repetitions do you do in your exercise program? 1 5-pound weight, is that it? Or do you do 3 repetitions 10 times when you do that? God is telling us one time, simple exercise. Just draw near. Draw near with a true heart. Your heart is true if you love Him. Your heart is true if you're looking for Him. Your heart is true if you say, I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. All of this program's going to be easy. It's going to be like lifting up the 1 pound weights. This one's easy, but we need to do it because some of us stay away from God because we feel guilty. We feel He can't love us as much. We feel I'm not as good as I should be. And God is saying, you want to exercise under godliness? Just come to me every day. Draw near to me and I'll draw near unto you. He'll come in there. He'll be that personal trainer, picking you up, moving you along. Don't go near that. That's too much for you. You can handle that right over there. The next one that He gives us is let us, you know, remember, let us diet. No. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For, you know, and what does James say? If any, you know, ask God today about this. How is it that I'm going to exercise? Ask Him and He's going to give it. But James says, don't come to God and ask anything. Don't doubt. Because if a man doubts, he's like a wave of the sea. Back and forth, you'll get nothing. Just go there saying, here I am. Hold fast. Hold fast means don't move. It's almost like an isometric exercise. Some of the oldies here. Remember Jack LaLanne? My mother used to sit in front of the TV and Jack LaLanne would say, okay, let's go. Remember that? I was going to tighten up the gooseneck or chicken neck that you might have had. No workout. Isometrics. Very simple. You can do isometrics at your desk. Didn't they make millions on that? You'd sit there and grab the bottom of your desk and just pull up like this and hold. Squeeze your buns together and hold them. It'll look so much better. All God is saying is hold fast to what I've already told you. I love you. I love you. There's freedom in me. It's not such just some demands that you better take care of. God is saying, just hold fast. Hold it fast. Just don't move. Don't go going crazy. Hold fast. Let us consider one another. I better get moving. Provoke. unto love. What an exercise in godliness to consider. That word is analogizo in the Greek. It means almost like a math equation. Don't just judge somebody immediately. He says, consider that person. Why are they in the position they're in? Why are they doing what they're doing? Why is their life the way it is? Consider it first. Just think on that person. It's a mind exercise that we heard. Be conformed how? By the renewing of my mind. I look and I say, well, that guy deserves that. That gal deserves that. Well, look at that bum. You know, God is saying, stop that. You want to exercise yourself to godliness? If we love God, here's the hard one. This is the 500-pound bench press. We got to love his children. Period. Not maybe. Period. If we love God and we love the others that he puts in our path. What a diet we're on right now. Thinking. Mind exercise. You know, and that's that one. You can practice an awful lot of this Christian faith and godliness by yourself, can't you? Reading, praying. You can do that at home alone. We can't practice love by ourselves. Did you ever think of that? I need somebody to love. I need somebody to love. Can't look at a picture. You can have love, you can have past love for that person, but you can't love that person anymore the way that God wants you to. It's something that we've got to do together. We need each other in this workout. Last one, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It's coming. It's coming. And guess what? Look at that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the saints. This is our gym, isn't it? This is our gym right here. Free membership. Until we get raptured too. Free membership in this gym. You want some help? Find a workout partner. Don't forsake it, because when you forsake it, that's how Bugface gets us back out there. Promises that God has for us. Some of them are going to take some time. I better get rolling. God promised in that verse in Timothy, it'll be profitable to you, Doug, right now, in the here and now. It's going to be profitable in the future for you when I get to heaven and stand before my Lord. Some of these exercises, there's hundreds of them in here, thousands of them in here. But this is the simple one that we can start with, this program. Some of these programs, don't just try it for an hour. Don't just try it for, what's the Nutrisystem? Do you eat that stuff? 8 pounds in the first week and 10 inches off your body size. They make those promises. You got to do it for a week. You got to eat that stuff, right? Bowflex or whatever. We got some kind of machine downstairs. I was telling somebody, man, that thing holds like 8 bath towels. One on each one of the handles, one across the seat. I got one on the back of it. I need a towel. Passes go down to the walk machine or whatever. There they are. Some of these machines like Bowflex, you need 6 months though. And I always love, they don't show a guy like me on there. They show some guy that he hasn't had a carrot in days even, you know, but it still takes 6 months to get like that guy is. God is promising results right now. Right now, I'll bet you if we do some of this stuff, he'll show us a result tomorrow. You'll feel better. You might look a little bit better to yourself. So don't quit is, I guess, what I'm saying. Can I have one more?
Sure.
This will be my last. I'll leave out the other ones. John 10. John 10. I guess all this, as you turn to John 10, this all builds up to James. Remember, James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you are just a hearer, you're like a man who looks in the mirror, walks away and forget what he looks like. That's what happens. If we don't, we got to do this stuff. Nobody ever benefited, I said it in the beginning, from reading an exercise book. You've got to put it into action. Nobody ever benefited by watching Tom Neal walk 3 miles a day around this town. That doesn't do anything for me. It just makes me hurt for him. Tom's got to do it because of his heart. I'm not making fun of Tom. But he needs to move that plaque around. But I don't benefit by Tom doing it. Sometimes he's, hey, you want to take a walk? And I said, for what? You know? Last one. Promises of now and in the future, John 10. I hope you got past me. Maybe God is speaking to your heart, I hope. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. If you're not a sheep, you're not, this is a bunch of hooey to you. Hokum. I haven't said hokum in a while. But if you are his, as I feel I am, I hear his voice. Now I have the option of being an obedient child or a disobedient child. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you're in Christ, there isn't a thing, one, that you've done, doing, or will do that will keep you from God's love, from plucking you out of his hand. Even doing or not doing this exercise program, I want you to realize he loves us. He's got a plan for us. But the choice is for me to start putting it into action. Keep looking in the Word. Find how many scriptures show you an exercise, something I've got to put myself into. Add to your faith. Craig, you love this one, right? Isn't add to your faith? Well, there's a workout. So I got this faith, but add to it. The fruit of the Spirit. There's benefits, I look, right? You look at all that. Just start looking at the Word and asking God, what can I handle? What is it that you'd want me to try? Maybe just this. Try it 1 week, just like a Nutrisystem or whoever. Whatever that food program is. I can't even think of that lady's name. Weight Watchers had...
Craig.
Who?
Jenny Craig.
Jenny Craig. Just look at God as... She says 1 week you're going to do this. Give God a week at least, okay? Let's not even go big time for 28 days. Give him a week. And let's see what he does in our own hearts. And if anybody, you know, I've said this, but nobody comes up here. If you really give it a shot, give it a try. Come up here and tell me what God changed in your life. The way you might have looked at somebody, the way you might have looked at ourselves or yourself. Just let's give God that glory because he wants to change us. He wants this program, this exercise to produce results now. Because I think once we get to heaven, we're not going to care about any of that. We're not going to talk about how much I read or how much I prayed. He wants that now. He wants that right now. So Father God, thank you. I pray that, Lord, you'll just work with each one of us at the abilities that we might have, the pace that we can handle, Father, but that each one of us would see results. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the, we're going to sing. Yes. No. Seth is going to sing. Okay.